It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Twins have had a unique place in many cultures for better and sometimes for worse. Tales of twins are found all throughout history, from the legend of Romulus and Remus founding Rome to the zany hijinks of identical twins switching places in movies like The Parent Trap. Twins are becoming more common these days with technologies like in vitro fertilization, but they're still rare enough to get a lot of attention. Our next guest is the ultimate expert on twins. He's written books about the cultural history of twins and directed a documentary called Twins on Twins. He's a twin himself, by the way. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a twin? Are there twins in your family? What's been your experience, either being a twin or maybe the parent thereof? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Full disclosure, I'm not a twin, but I'm a parent of twins. William Viney is a researcher and writer based in Rome. His newest book is called Twin Kind, The Singular Significance of Twins. Will, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Well, as I mentioned, you are a twin yourself. What is it that led from being a twin to having a lot of your research and writing focused on what it means to be a twin?
Look, I think actually it's a lot of ignorance and a certain measure of curiosity. I wanted to write this book because despite being a twin, being born a twin and not really having a choice about being a twin, I knew really nothing about them. And growing up, I was never really encouraged to think very critically about what it means to be a twin. And that carried on well into adulthood. And then when I looked around, I was like, well, there are no resources really to understand this category that I was born into. I was just, twins are just like a simple fact of life, something that you would kind of have to accept at face value. So I thought that there was some work to do there, at least, if nothing else, just to sort of educate myself.
Your introduction to the book is written by your twin brother, and he writes that you get a question kind of like one I got all the time. People would ask me, what's it like to be the parent of twins? You guys get asked, what's it like to be twins? I assume your answer is kind of similar to mine. Like, I don't know any different.
Look, it is. It's really, I don't. But I guess I over the last 10 years of becoming this kind of, am I a twin researcher? I suppose I am. A writer about twins. I've learned that what it is that people want to hear, right? They want to hear that you look alike. They want you to tell them that you're intimate with your twin sibling or that you hate each other. They want all kinds of stereotypes to either to be confirmed or to be denied. And I guess over the years, and I grow older, and I don't know, Rob, I don't know when people ask you about being a parent of twins, you get to learn the shape of those stereotypes. And I was really interested in my research to find out where some of those stereotypes come from.
And this fascination with twins is nothing new. The first chunk of your book is a survey of twins in mythology. And I kind of knew, I mentioned the Romulus and Remus thing, and you think Castor and Pollux, the Gemini siblings from ancient Greek mythology. Super common twin legends and folklore wherever you are in the world. Can you give us a sense of how common twins are in mythology?
Yeah, twin myths are often foundational to a community or to cities. Twins are often the firstborn beings in a cosmology, as they are in ancient Egyptian myths. They're the first men or women, and the first the gods put on Earth. They're sort of suitable heroes or kind of adventurers and explorers. Castor and Pollux, Heracles and Iphicles, Artemis and Apollo, these are not like minor figures in Greek and Roman mythology. They're kind of like the heavy hitters. And it really fascinated me to learn this because, there's no class you go through. There was no class I went through to learn about twins and their impact on ancient civilization. So that was a wild ride.
In many cultures you write, everywhere from Africa to medieval Europe and elsewhere, the birth of twins was looked at something as being very bad, either saying something bad about the mother in many cases or an omen and not a good omen. How common is it to have the birth of twins be something bad, maybe even dreaded?
I mean, it goes back a little bit to this, these ideas of like foundational people. You know, in the Bible, we have Jacob and Esau. Their mother, Rebecca, is told that two nations struggle in her womb, and the brothers quarrel and argue, and Jacob deceives their father and wins the birthright, and the nations of Israel are born through him. Likewise, in Persian mythology and religion, you have these primeval good twin and bad twin kind of constantly at war with one another. How that happens, I don't know, but you find that very broadly. You mentioned medieval twin and twin beliefs. It was very common for a woman who fell pregnant and had twin and had twins to be accused of adultery. At least that's what we learn from court poetry and satires, and it was very common, therefore, to associate twins with adultery, a real big problem if you were a woman living in Christian Europe in the Middle Ages.
Talking to William Viney about his new book, Twin Kind, The Singular Significance of Twins. You can join in with your questions, maybe your experience as a twin or parent of twins yourself. Join in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Will, I want to give a listen to something that really set the modern standard of creepiness among twins. Here's a 1980s The Shining.
Play with us, Daddy.
So a chicken or the egg question here. Coming into The Shining, did people think of twins as creepy? Or coming out of The Shining, did that movie make people think of twins as creepy? How do you split the difference there?
I don't know, but we can look at the history of the image, you know, of the Louise and Lisa Burns, the British girls that played the twins. They're made up to look like a Diane Arbus portrait called Identical Twins, Russell, taken in New Jersey in 1966. And that picture is actually kind of cute and kind of interesting, and it's kind of freaky, but it's not scary. But I think what your listeners just heard, what you just played for us, the music and the sound of their voices. Now, there's quite a few elements there. And if you look at just what the Burns sisters look like on screen, I don't think that they look terribly horrifying, at least to me. But, you know, maybe I'm not a good judge of this after all these years of thinking about it. One thing is for sure is that we're showing these twins and they're never fully human. But they might be kind of, because they're twins, more than human. And that's the kind of horror of twinning that you find in other films too, that they're never simply one.
Now, something that's kind of horrible in real life, Will, we've heard over the years lots and lots of psychological and sociological research based on twins, comparing identical twins to fraternal twins, twins who grew up together to those who didn't. The origins of modern twin science came from some pretty dark places. And I didn't know this. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
Well, you know, twins entered into a kind of industry of twin research towards the end of the 19th century with a man called British scientist, a man called Francis Galton. He also later on coined the term eugenics with twin research and with, you know, eugenics, the attempt to mold and develop ideal societies. You have a kind of a pairing to, you know, please forgive me, but you have the kind of pairing of twin research and eugenics. And during the 1920s and 30s, you have an explosion and development of twin research, not just in England, also in America, throughout Northern Europe, and in Germany under National Socialism. I think when I speak to people about twin research and their eyes widen and eyebrows raise and they think of twin research, they associate it with with Mengele. Joseph Mengele was who was a Nazi scientist and did horrific experiments at Auschwitz. Now, I think what I am very careful to do in the book, and I think that everybody should be aware of, is that twin science was completely normal at the time, and it continued to be completely normal after the war. And I was very fascinated to learn what happened to the careers of those scientists after the war. Some, like Mengele, disappeared into Latin America. Others continued in Europe, in Germany and elsewhere, as twin researchers. Twin research still involves about 1.5 million twins around the world. It's still big business.
Will Viney is with us, health researcher and writer. We're talking about his latest book. It's called Twin Kind, The Singular Significance of Twins. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Love to hear from the twins out there, or maybe parents of twins. If you're living life as a twin, what are some of the most common questions people ask you? Maybe you're annoyed by those questions now, or maybe you love that people give a little extra attention. Are there weird misconceptions or stereotypes you come across? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about twins with William Viney, author of the new book, Twin Kind, The Singular Significance of Twins. Let's go to your calls at 800-642-1234. Harry is with us in Milwaukee. Harry, hello.
Well, hi. How are you today?
Good. What did you want to tell us about?
I am the father of a set of twins and the uncle of a set of twins. And the one question that they always get is, which one of you is the evil one?
And Harry, as the parent and uncle, do you identify any of these twins as the evil one?
No.
Good.
They're both, but all three of them are lovely ladies.
A fine parenting decision. Harry, thanks a lot for sharing that with us. I'm guessing you've been asked this before, Will.
For sure. You know, I think, on the whole, people want you as a twin pair to represent a kind of nice set of contrasts, like we have the behavior or kind of psychology that a fairy godmother might give out. One's beautiful, one's less beautiful, one can do this, the other one can do that, one's good, one's evil, and it's a package, right? Twins get treated like packages. I think that the which one is the evil twin is very much part of that idea that twins form a whole.
Thanks for that call, Harry. Dot joins us now in Manitowoc. Dot, hi.
Hi. My brother and sister are twins, and my father always introduced them as the twin, and I was considered the baby. And for the longest time, I had wished that I would have been the triplet, because they got all the attention.
Oh, okay. Dot, thanks a lot for sharing that story with us. First of all, this idea of, will twins being identified, especially when they have other siblings, as the twins, there they are as a unit again.
Rob, what happens in your household? Do your twins get called the twins? Or is there a policy of avoiding it?
They were the only kids, so we were able to just say their names. I think sometimes, maybe in their friend group, sometimes they might have been referred to as the twins. But even that, I think, was pretty rare. But I feel like I run into this pretty often when there are like twins with other siblings. They're the twins.
That's for sure. And in some like parenting advice you see, and some of your callers might want to tell us their experience of this, that they're advised, parents are advised not to refer to their twin children as the twins, to try and give them some chance of forging a individual identity. I don't know what you make of that. I'm not sure either.
Our technical director, Sarah, is a triplet and says we were always referenced as the triplets. So there you go. So again, identified as that unit. Thanks. Thanks, Dot, for the call. Jeff is with us now in Appleton. Jeff, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to tell or ask about?
Well, I wanted to find out if there's been any research that shows how often twins might come down the family line. You know, I've heard every other generation and so on. The reason I ask is my mother's father, my maternal grandfather, he was a twin, and then he had twin girls, which were my aunts. And then my father's mother, my maternal grandmother, was a twin herself. But since that point, there's been no twins in our family on either side. And I now have grandkids, and my kids are not twins. None of my cousins have had twins, so it's skipping a couple generations. I want to see if there's any research along that line.
Jeff, thanks for the call. Do twins run in families well?
There's lots of research there, and my summary would be that it depends on what kind of twins we're talking about. When we talk about identical or what we might call monozygotic twins, they come from a single fertilized egg and they split into two identical parts. Those twins, what we know is that that's just a sort of wild biological phenomena. Only ever happens in armadillos. Armadillos have identical twins like that. Humans have twins like that. And we don't quite know why it happens. So that's monozygotic or identical twinning. When it comes to dizygotic or fraternal twinning, non-identical twins, there are lots of different theories, and also, you know, different twinning rates in different parts of the country and different parts of the world according to your ethnic and your ancestry. So it really depends, and it's and all like all things that are biological, it really depends on your environment, your diet, your age, all kinds of stuff. So it does sometimes seem to run in particular groups and sometimes families, but I don't have a conclusive answer on that one. I thought I'd share some of that information in case it's helpful.
Thanks for that call, Jeff. We're talking to William Viney about his new book, Twin Kind, The Singular Significance of Twins. Will, I want to take another stop in the history you share in the book here. A stretch in psychology suggesting that being a twin was inherently in some ways a psychological problem. What were we worrying about, especially in the middle of the 1900s?
Yeah, I think it comes out of the history of psychology, psychotherapy, psychoanalysis, that really based its models of human development on single people. You grew up, you know, according to Freud, you grew up as a young boy, loving your mother, hating your father, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you went through certain kinds of developmental stages. Now, twins, it seemed to these psychologists and psychoanalysts of the, say, 1950s and 60s, seemed to display, what should we say? They didn't seem to go through these patterns of development. And so what happened in the second half of the 20th century, that twins seemed to kind of become a bit of a problem. They seem to be a kind of a blockage towards becoming a kind of ideal individual. Now, I would kind of preface all this by saying this reflects a certain Western European and Northern American ideal of what it means to be a good individual and a good citizen. But for sure, twins were not celebrated necessarily among this psychological profession, shall we say.
From psychology to psychic phenomena. I used to tell my daughters, if just one of them was there, use your psychic link with your sister to see what she wants to order from the restaurant. It never worked. But a lot of people attribute psychic connections, paranormal connections between twins. You write that people actually tried to research this. Why is this such a stereotype? What has that research found?
Well, there seems to be a moment for scientists to take really seriously the prospect that particularly identical twins had a parapsychic connection and would set up serious experiments both in the laboratory and often with, it was tended to be observed among younger children in their homes to try and kind of capture that moment when they seem to share one another's pain or be able to communicate some kind of knowledge that they couldn't have possibly known without their twin helping. And that seems to have died out. Like, scientists have moved on from this. They signed a declaration to say that they all agreed there was no evidence, at least, for telepathic connections between twins. But like it doesn't seem to matter. This seems to be one of these interesting cases. It doesn't seem to matter what scientists say about that. The desire that people have for twins to have this sort of connection is still alive and well. And for some reason, people would love for me to feel the pain of my brother. I mean, I think that they're complete sadists, but you know what? You know, that's what people want from twins. Again, it goes back to why they're seen as kind of monstrous, that they're like not fully human, but maybe they're kind of more than human. You know, they're both monsters and they're kind of gods on earth. And this sort of extra power that twins may have, I think, is really exciting to people.
And just our last couple moments, Will, one part of your book I've been overlooking, the visual. You've got a lot of images from ancient mythological representations of twins to modern day pictures of twins from all over the world. Why was that visual side of storytelling important to you as you talk about twins?
I published a book a while ago on twins, and people were like, where are all the pictures? This one's got 400 images in it. It's really, really, really beautiful book. So tribute to the publishers for doing such a wonderful job. And I think that people want to look at you. You know, people ask me, you're a twin? And I say, yes. And then they say, let me see a picture. And I have to show them. It's like a way of giving evidence.
Well, it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
William Viney is a health researcher and writer, and we've been talking about his newest book. It's called Twin Kind, The Singular Significance of Twins. Lots of pictures in there, as you heard. Hey, if you have a twin story to share with us, you can email ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org. Send pictures if you want to. It's not a requirement. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.